Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post-show video. It's time to talk to Dan and Max about their... I didn't know that was going to happen. That just kind of happened.
No, to be honest, I didn't know that was going to happen either. I just kind of went with it.
Yeah, I think that was definitely an exclamation point on the episode for sure, at least for me. So, yeah, I guess my first question is how much of that was in character and how much of that was out of character because he just gave up 1,000 gold?
No, that was in character. It had nothing to do. I mean, the gold was a part of it.
Yeah.
The fact that it's mainly just Berg, like, this guy's, like, disrespecting him and being, like, we tried to help, you know, and this guy's still basically telling us to go eat shit. And Berg's like, all right, what the fuck? And then Azrael went and did that, and, you know, that pissed off Berg. But the thing that set the fuse for Berg was when Azrael said, I should have sold you basically implying you should be a slave again. You know, you'd be better off a slave. Yeah. And that's when I'm just like, you done did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to think of how like Gale would deal with that. And I think he would deal with it exactly how he said, like he's seen this stuff happen in bird culture before. Just fights happen. It's best to let it just play out. But Dan, from your perspective, what was that encounter like for you?
It kind of caught me off surprise that he just attacked me. But I think I was up. The character was upset, so he kind of slipped his words and used the wrong words. But I think Azrael now feels that Berg is uncontrollable and that this evil that I can see inside of him or whatever this force is doing something that I can't deal with myself.
That's also part of the reason why it happened.
So I'm heading to the tea shop for a very specific reason, because I need help dealing with Berg. And we'll see how that plays out next week. But yeah, I'm pretty much done with Berg. I'm at this point, like the character. Because my fortune was that Berg was going to be a burden to me, mm-hmm. and a great burden, and it came true. And now it's time to relieve myself of this burden because it's preventing me from completing my sworn oath. It's getting in the way, and I have to get rid of this problem before I can continue.
Interesting. Okay. That'll be a lot of fun to RP then next week. Adam, you said he had a bunch of questions, so here's some time.
Yeah, I mostly just wanted to... it's funny because the last two sessions, we haven't really been playing Dungeons & Dragons. We've been doing, like, a freeform RPG thing that happens to sit loosely on top of D&D. Right? Like, it's funny because the game that we're playing, I feel like I can't like, reward you for all the cool RP, except with rewarding you with lore. It's all very extrinsic.
Yeah.
So... how do y'all feel about that? Like, it's been a couple of episodes of not really like doing anything that's getting you XP, though you did just gain a level. You're all level 5, so it's not like there's a big race to the next thing. How is that feeling for you?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
it's fine. We've had so many episodes where it's been like nothing but a battle the entire time, yeah. So this helps even that out.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking like we're in a bit of a downswing in terms of like what there is to do. I can't very well put you on a quest, right? Because if I do, I have to either force Anne to make a character that fits that quest or send her off in the other direction. But what I have managed to do is set up that you're in a place full of adventurers. So maybe one of them is ready to be your friend instead of your enemy. Right. So I'm really excited about talking to Anne about the kind of character she wants to play and then help her work into what's going on. So she might be someone that's like an ally or a friend, an old friend of Berg's or something like that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because we have these in-between guest bits where they do feel like the sort of mid-season, like, let's explore the setting a little bit before we jump back into the action.
Definitely.
So yeah, I was just curious about what you guys felt about that.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I enjoy the like Max was saying, and I get both of them were saying like there were so many combat centric episodes that it's nice to just be able to RP. And definitely, I think when we had Morgan on the show, it was like RP light, just because that's kind of what she brought to the show. And now that we're able to kind of jump back into the interaction between the three of us rather than kind of helping her succeed at her goal, it's definitely a lot of fun to see the party kind of revolve around that.
My thing that I've noticed that's interesting is that we go, having played all together for a while now, we go from sessions where the RP is really like, this is a conversation between Max and Dan, or yeah. Dan and JP. And we're like, okay, it's my character saying this, but really we're just like, what should we do? Like, let's go fight this guy. I don't know. That's not a good idea. But it's really us talking, even if we do the voices. And then there are sessions like this one where it's like the characters talking to one another. And right. I think that that's interesting that we go back and forth between those two. And I think that because the combat stuff requires so much like tactical thinking, it pulls you back into that like making decisions as JP, role play as JP kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool to watch that change tenor depending on the situation that you're in. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
Well, and also like, and we talked a little bit about it at the beginning, that idea of, because every game has this happen where the characters get into conflict and we have this feeling like, is this going to get uncomfortable and like weird? But I like that it took us a long time to get to that place. So we don't have to, it's not like the first episode you're yelling at each other.
Yeah.
You know, because I like, mean, it really could have
gone that way very easily if I like stuck to my normal shtick of a character.
There was multiple points why it happened. Like why I made the decision to just flip out on him like that. Because there's been butting heads before in the past. And like I said, there's that burden thing, which actually I didn't even think about in the moment, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
The biggest things I thought about were the fact that he fucking said the slave guy. He didn't say slavery, but you know what I mean? That's what he said, essentially. And then also Berg has this whole kind of, emotionally, he's really fucked up. really fucked up. He's been through hell and back. He's should have died so many times. He's taken up this evil, potentially like thing that's just influencing, but he has no control over it. So who knows if that was at play there too? Yeah. And besides, you take away all that, he's just confused with everything, and he's not exactly sure. Fucking Azure Vortex died, like someone that he cared about.
Still haven't resolved that or dealt with that.
So this is also some of that kind of like coming through, this repressed kind of emotions that he's not dealt with, kind of coming to a head. It just so happens that Azriel brought him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have had a lot of character switches, so we haven't had like a long time with each character to like feel this tension. But like me and Berg have been together for quite some time now. And I felt like for Azriel, like, He's starting to realize, like, what are my attachments to this orc I found in that cave? Like there's nothing really holding me to this orc. I think it's starting to, like, wear thin this, like, him. I want to protect him, but now that there's this bounty hunter is all here only for him, and it's just, like, sort of wearing thin that need to be righteous and protect him and be kind to him, because it's, like, just holding me back as from my ultimate goal.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah. I don't know where Jubilant fits into that. It's gonna be really annoying if I can't talk when you guys are like hashing it out. I'm just like, come on, like.
So how did you feel? This is a question, I guess, that we can kind of talk about, JP. How did you feel about interacting with someone of your own faith, and like how interacting with the Absolver? How was that? Because we know for sure, we've known from the beginning that Jubilant Black Gale's faith is like pieced together from other things.
Yeah. I think that was fine. I think it was definitely limited from the ability, like the fact that I can't talk to her and I had to have Azriel there for a lot of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely times where I wanted to ultimately just like steal from the, like, it's, I think this is one of the first times where the repercussions of the game and like the actual way that the gods work in this game, or the deities work in this game, like kept me from just stealing money from the box that she put that thing in, or outright saying like, no, you do this now, we're just going to kill you. Like that type of stuff is usually the route that I would take. But now with how kind of the game is structured and how we've structured it ourselves, I'm definitely like second guessing a lot of the actions that I would normally take. And I think that scene is kind of a result of a lot of that stuff. Cause I don't think until she started like teaching me things and I had a reason to be respectful, Jibla didn't really give a shit about her. It wasn't until he gained something from her that he saw her as kind of an equal. Because up until that point, it was just like, this person could potentially get the bracelet off Berg and we could get the fuck out of this town and, you know, go do something that is actually meaningful. But until then, we're just kind of stuck. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. So that's how I looked at the situation.
So as a group, what do you think the most sort of like compelling thing to do next is? Like if you were all still going to pursue a quest, what would that be? Because you've kind of got a few things in the fire right now.
I think everyone has their own goal right now. There's not one cohesive goal. Like Dan's kind of focused on, in my eyes, I think Dan's character Azrael is focused on dealing with Grasping Hands right now and kind of what's going on in the town. I think Berg is obviously focused on the bracelet, and that's kind of been the party's focus for a lot of it. Gale's kind of, as he's learning to talk more and get involved in society, he's definitely developing his own goals kind of in his mind that he hasn't acted on yet. But yeah, I think we all have our own different stuff. At least that's how I see it. I don't know about you and Max and Dan, how you guys are seeing it.
Yeah, I think we haven't had it's been a little bit since we've had like a focus, like this is what we do. Last time was Morgan, I guess, with that quest with the snake shit going on there.
Right.
In the interim, it's been like, well, what do we do now? And everyone else has kind of had their own sort of motivations. It's kind of been, I guess, the bracer thing, but Berg has also made it clear like he's grateful that they're going to try, but he also is totally okay, like just going on as normal, like and killing whoever tries to kill him, because to be honest, he's not smart enough to like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Berg now, from now on, like right now, he's pissed off. He's got to cool down. Mm-hmm. He's going to be wary of Azrael for sure, because Azrael didn't seem to like see anything wrong with what he did or said. So unless Azrael says something, you know what I mean? There has to be some sort of interaction there that would change Berg's mind.
Yeah. I think it might be fun, at least from Azrael or from Gale's perspective, to in bird culture, when birds have disagreement, there's ways that they solve the disagreement and have to work together after that. Cause at the end of the day, like you only have the people in your roost, or you only have the people around you that you've decided to put around you. So, that might be kind of fun to force you guys to do that type of stuff. Unless there is no resolution, unless you guys just end up duking it out, which would be interesting too. But Dan, I think you're going to talk. I interrupted. What were you going to say?
I think Azrael is caring less and less about the party and more about his own goals. And his goal, as you said, is dealing with Grasping Hands, but more importantly, way above him, the abbot, eventually. That's his ultimate goal, is to get to the abbot and deal with him. And we'll see how the Berg situation goes down next week, because I'm not quite sure how exactly what I'm going to do, but we'll see next week. I have ideas in my head, but we'll see.
Yeah. Be interesting to see party PvP if it goes down that path. I don't know if you guys want to.
I do want to stress,
I love too that woman was like, don't let Berg die. Now you're like, PvP though.
Well, as a person, yeah, as JP, I'm super interested in both those aspects.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gail's obviously going to be like, we can't let this motherfucker, like, you got to stop this shit, Azrael. Like, what the fuck? Like, I'll probably have to take Tongue's time too next episode just to fucking have the conversation.
I'm not going to. I don't want to kill him. That's because I can't. I know that I can't because of the stains on his soul.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to deal with him in one way or another.
What's it called? I was going to say, I know it goes without saying too. Like, you know, you asked the question earlier, JP, how much of that was player character, you know, motivated. It really wasn't player character. Like I was as Max was like, the fuck, 1,000 gold. But I'm saying this so that way the viewers know, like there is no sort of like, Dan, fuck you. It was literally just like, I wasn't even going to say nothing. I was contemplating like flipping, and then he just happened to use the wrong words. And I was like, well, that's his trigger.
It's not like we have 4,000 in the bank just sitting there, you know?
Yeah. Now there is a lot of money there, but it was the reason why he flipped mainly was because of the choice of words.
And technically I didn't pay him anything. Instead, in fact, I owe him another 500 because he took the first half of the payment when we placed the order for the armor, but he never got the second half because Grasping Hands.
Did he never get that second half?
Nope, because Grasping Hands forced him to finish it, and we got the armor, but we never paid the second half of the fee.
Oh, shit.
So I didn't actually pay him anything. I paid him what he was already owed.
Yeah.
Well, that's way up. One, Max didn't remember that, so it doesn't matter. Number two, Berg would be too stupid to remember.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, I think in terms of Anne, I've spoken to her a little bit on what she wants to play, or rather what she chat wants her to really play a bard.
Bard.
Yeah, she really like they really want her to play a bard and then have
Yeah, but does she want to play bard?
I don't know. I think
because if she doesn't, that is like if you're playing a bard and you don't want to play a bard, there's nothing worse. Like
well, yeah, that's what I was telling her, but I was also like, I mean, bards are kind of cool. Then I linked her a couple of the like cool spells and she's like, "Oh, that sounds really cool." I'm like, "Wait, hold on. I showed you the cool spells. Like take a look at the class before you actually decide cuz they're also kind of a much different class." Like I showed her what is it? Liamun's Tiny Hut, where you just create it's a ritual where you just create like a basically a hut and no one else can enter it at all. So if like you're in the middle of a dungeon, you just cast that and then no one else can ever enter it.
Yeah. They're really good at controlling battles so they can shut enemies down.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. But in terms of like party synergy, I don't really I would probably say like a caster is something that we would
need. Range DPS is something we do need.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a fighter with a bow, like bow specialty would be also good.
Yeah,
You can do some killer stuff.
Well, starting at level 5, you have a ton of options. There's so many options that you could go with. Mm-hmm. And it would also be interesting if she came in as like a wizard or something with like super high intelligence among basically a group of idiots to her and was just kind of bossing us around with like actually intelligent statements and thoughts and ideas and all that. And we were just like, oh yeah, no, that does make actually perfect sense.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. But I would also think Berg probably hates those type of people too. So I don't know. There would probably be conflict as well. But yeah, we got to talk to her and figure out what she wants to play. Cause I think that's probably the next pressing matter, after the conflict resolution or not resolution between the two of you. So, apart from that, anything else? Anything else you guys want to bring up from the episode?
No, I'm excited to see where it goes.
Dan, you good?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we're all back next Tuesday. So if you're watching this on between now and then, we should be live Tuesday. If not, you've already watched the episode, so you know that it happened or something. It gets really weird trying to say this. So we're just going to end it here. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Bye-bye.
Later.